This is Open Talk. In this program, we talk with people in a close and friendly way about what they're doing or even just about their lives. Our website is opentalk.us. The views and opinions of our guests are not necessarily those of this station or its management. We present this program for your consideration.
But for the stuff that really matters for eternal significance, I want the music that I love to be something that has eternal significance. And so it was cool. But this was one of the first songs that we ever composed together when we were getting started. And I said, everybody, remember what you played. Please, you know, record some of this because I'm going to go off and write some lyrics and I'll have them next week.
All right, this is James Hall again. I'm here with the group Crimson Blues. I say it that way because I want to make sure I don't want to leave off the S.
Thank you. All right, so this tune is called Stop Breaking Down. This is actually a variation of a very old Robert Johnson tune from around 1930, roughly. I forget exactly what year he recorded this. But this song since then has been juiced up in kind of a more kind of cool rock style. And but I've also changed the lyrics to put them into a Christian context, so kind of a Christian hijacking of the song, I suppose. But nevertheless, I don't care. I'm going to do it.
Stop breaking down. You got to give your trust to Jesus. Take it easy.
can ease. I said he can ease. I said he can ease. Do it again, boys. I said he can ease your trouble, mind.
Your music to go? I mean, where are you going with your music? Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Where are we going with the music? Well, there's a couple of facets to that. One facet is that we want to make sure we don't go somewhere that God has not led us. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labors work in vain.
Absolutely.
So if there was some kind of big opportunity to be successful that would draw us away from being really faithful to what God wants us to do, that would be a bad thing. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to be better known. We do want to be better known. Right. We want to find more places to play. We're here today because we want some bigger turnout at this concert.
Sure.
But we want to do this stuff according to God's plan. We really want Him to guide and direct us. We want Him to open the doors to relationships with new people and new places to play. We want it to be a path where God has said, here, go to this place. Now, there's another facet to it as well, as far as what I want to be, at least for me personally, what do I want to be doing about this music? What I want to be doing, which I'm pretty much doing now and hope to continue, that is that I want to be in the position where I can play the music that I really, really love and be surrounded by talented musicians who help energize and help, you know, that stimulate my creative juices. You know, which is also part of why the songwriting has been happening. And I want to be able to do this kind of stuff that I love and have it matter for all eternity.
Right.
And I am more than, you know, I'm not against playing secular blues. I'm happy to do it. I've got some other buddies, and I'll go and play with them. But for the stuff that really matters for eternal significance, I want the music that I love to be something that has eternal significance and is laid at the foot of the cross, and God can use it in a ministry thing.
I'd like to just add, you know, I've been with the band a little bit over a year, but what I see when we play is people lifted up and their spirits lifted and them being moved. And what I'd like to see is be able to get our music out to more people, to have a positive impact on their life and lift them up as well.
You know, and I think I'd also like to just see a little bit more diversity in Christian music out there. I mean, there are some, and not just us, I mean, there are some great musicians who love Jesus who you don't hear. When was the last time you heard Randy Stonehill on Christian radio? It doesn't happen.
Is he still doing music?
He is still doing music.
He just came to our church a few weeks ago.
I think that is in public knowledge. I didn't know he was still doing music. I loved his.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of great stuff.
He is on year-long tour from church to church, and he survives off just love offerings. And man, he played at our church and blew our minds. I mean, my whole family who you know, they're kind of, I'm not sure where they're at with God. I mean, they absolutely loved it, and they were buying his CDs. I mean, the guy is...
My favorite song recently that I can remember was Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. You remember that?
Yeah.
Because it was like right there when I was at that point, and I was thinking, you know, I thought the world was crazy then. Now they're just nuts.
Yeah.
That's when wrong is right and right is wrong. I'm like, you know, when we'd rather worry more about, you know, convenience than a child, or we'd rather worry more about, locking grandma up because she's not, you know, useful. Bill, you're at the age where they start doing that to parents, start locking them up because they don't want to deal with them. You know, I'm going to sell grandma's house and her assets and everything and so on, and grandma's too much trouble to take care of. And you just go, what happened from here to here, from point A to point B, to where when we get to see that old people don't have any value? What happened? And we've gotten so far away from that. In fact, most people don't realize that blues is actually an older style of music. We were talking about that before.
It goes back a long ways.
Right. And
we draw from some very old roots in blues, actually, some of our influences.
I think that gets lost where music comes from. Yeah. I think we have now as more of a it's sort of a pop sound, a light level pop, and it's.
Well, I think that touches on what Scott was saying just now, which is that the world of Christian music, it really could be diversified. One of the challenges that we have is if we don't really fit the cookie cutter. We don't want to fit the cookie cutter. That's not what's in my musical heart. I can't. And we encounter a lot of apathy. I mean, there's a lot, you know, we go around, take promotional folders and packets to various church leaders, you know, large churches in the area, and they're not really interested, you know, because
they've got their schedule planned out for the next 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all all the same cookie cutter music. Yeah.
Even though the average life of a pastor at a church is 18 months, but they've got 5 years planned out, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Well, I had an interesting situation. I gave a CD to a guy, and he listened to it, and he says, "You know," he says, "you could probably play more churches if you toned it down." And I says, "Well, do we water down the gospel?" I says, "If we play with passion and intensity," I says, "what's wrong with that?" I mean, and that's what we're all about. We play with passion, whether the song's really slow and low volume. There's a lot of feel to it. And if we get into one of our high-intensity type rock numbers, you know, I mean, that's what it's all about. Like I said, you know, it's hard to sit in your seat. And people inevitably, they're on their feet.
We are not elevator music. We got Mark, you know, playing slide with a Telecaster on a cranked tweed Fender amp, and I'm playing a Les Paul through a cranked Supro, and we got two drummers and a lights out bassist. We are not Muzak.
Okay, I've heard some of the music, so I know that's true anyway. But I just like the way you describe it.
Yeah, well, I did too. I like that too.
Yeah. So. Well, I think that
please write that down.
Well, he can transcribe it from later.
There you go.
But now, so how long have you been together? What, 5 years then? About
it was in the summer of 2010, so I think we're a little over 3 years.
Oh,
now.
3 years. Okay.
I'm amazed the time has flown.
Your current project is you were done it. Actually, you recorded it live at where you're going to be this coming
yes.
up.
Yes. So the church where we're playing on January 5th. They have very good multi-track recording capability. And the first time we played there back in 2011, we got very, very good recording masters. And so I spent a couple of months mixing and editing very meticulously. And out of that, we created our first album, which is a live concert album. Mm-hmm. And it's available both on CDs and MP3s.
Okay.
We're working now on a second album, which is not live. This would be more of a studio type thing, and we were hoping to have that ready in time for this concert, but it's not meant to be. We're going to be a couple more months, and
I know all about what meant to be because I deal with things all the time. You know, I'm building things, I'm doing things, and I keep asking the Father. He goes, you know, I'm ready any minute. And he goes, well, obviously it's not going to happen, Rob, because it hasn't happened. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'll. Just deal with what it is, but
it's in the works. It's in the works. We're working on it.
It's good. You know, you'll record no music before it's time.
yeah, something like that. So you know, we'll have our first live concert CD there. I'm probably going to put together some sort of little sampler CD, which would be about the length of a demo CD, maybe six songs or a little more. Something that we'll throw. Put together quickly that will include some other interesting tunes that turned out really good in recordings that just haven't made it onto a CD, a couple of previews of what's coming on the upcoming album, and then a couple of nice live recordings from some places that are really cool. And it'll be kind of just a broad mixture sampler, and we'll probably, you know, sell that, you know, try to make it inexpensively and sell it really, really inexpensively. So it'll be very affordable, like $5.
Now, do you have like one or two songs that you would say best define you?
The best define me? Oh, that's a good question.
We have a great cover of a Taylor Swift song.
Don't listen to him, folks. He's
kidding.
He was
He's
talking
kidding.
About that beforehand.
He's kidding.
Why don't we back up?
We don't do that. You know, each one of us would probably have one or two definitive favorite tunes. I'll bet it'd be interesting. It'd be different for each of us. For me, one of the definitive tunes is a song called Went Down to the Crossroads, which is on our live album.
Okay.
And it's kind of a Delta blues thing that's kind of inspired by the life of Robert Johnson. And it's talking about the old myth that's part of blues mythology about the blues musician who goes down to the crossroads at midnight and makes a deal with the devil to have success as a musician in exchange for his soul. And the song is basically talking about you and I aren't really any different. Hmm. You know, and we need the same redemption that that guy has. That's a real definitive Christian blues song for me that jumps to the forefront of my mind immediately. Yeah, I'm curious. You guys, which song sticks out for you, any of you guys?
Sanctified Boogie Blues.
Ah, yes. Sanctified Boogie Blues. So tell how that song came about.
I was just playing my funky beat, and then all of a sudden everybody else started jamming, like June started playing a bass line following me, and then everybody else jumped in, and that's how it got created.
Yeah. And so it was cool, but this was one of the first songs that we ever composed together when we were getting started. And I said, everybody, remember what you played. Please, you know, record some of this, because I'm going to go off and write some lyrics, and I'll have them next week. And so we got this song called Sanctified Boogie Blues, and we'll almost certainly, we will probably play that at the upcoming concert, and it's also on our live album.
Yeah, for me, I'd say that the song that really defines the band, in my opinion, would be I Feel Like Jeremiah, because I think our country needs prophets to be speaking to it, and our country needs to be listening. I think recently Billy Graham, did a great event online and with the networks to speak to the country to try and turn us back, and I think our country really, really needs to turn back to the Lord. And you know, maybe this band can be a small piece of that, where we speak truth and we shed light on the sin that needs to be repented of and the redemption that is available through Christ.
That's important, I think, you know. But keep in mind, Jeremiah was like most prophets. He was running from the job because he knew what the potential possibility was, and that's death.
Yeah.
Well,
killed the prophets.
It was a struggle. It was a struggle, and it's like, what am I going to do? And
he wasn't even that old. People don't realize he started at 19, I think, as a prophet. Wow. About 19, and he didn't even live that long. He died in Egypt.
And he had a lot of grief and hardship in his life, and that's part of why I wrote it, because I wrote that song at a time when it just hit me so heavily that our nation has gone so far down the path, the wrong path, away from God. And I was experiencing real strong feelings of grief that I think our nation has gone beyond the point of no return, and I really kind of felt like Jeremiah, and that's where the song came from. And the song is my way of processing my grief for what I fear may be the death of our nation.
Well,
so come on, America, instead of going into captivity, let's turn back to the Lord. And you know, another reason why I really like that song is it has just a killer Zeppelin-esque riff that just drones through the song. So
yeah, these guys have really given a powerful groove to that song.
You've taken some of the best secular types of sounds and pulled them into a gospel into the gospel, so to speak.
Yeah,
because how many times do you see a great artist and their life is horrible?
Yeah,
their life's in shambles.
Yeah, yeah,
they're divorced. They're on the rocks, or whatever you want to call it, however you want to put it.
Yeah, and they're drugged out.
Yeah, but their talent is not doing anything good. Yeah, makes them some money, and people feel good, but that's it. There's nothing lasting of it at all. It's a mess.
Yeah. What about you, Scott? What one song stands out for you?
Oh, you know what one I like? I know.
I know, I know, I know.
That's got to be at like 150 beats per minute. It's an extremely fast song. And Mark, this is when he sprung on us at one of the drug and alcohol outreach ministries. We had all of about 10 minutes to hear it. And he says, we're going to play this tonight. And he just took off, and we all jumped in. And I says, oh, my gosh, that's one of my favorite songs. But I really enjoy that. It's really high speed, high tempo, and we have a lot of fun with it. The other one, and I mentioned it earlier, is, you know, This Little Light of Mine. There's a couple of songs we use as closers. But Mark likes to get everybody up on their feet and chanting and singing along with them. And I really have a lot of fun with that. And I really enjoy that. Again, you know, a lot of people for the various ministries and things that we play for kind of down and out. And see people smiling and happy and up on their feet and enjoying some music and singing the words with us and the messages in the songs. It's just, it is such a blessing. I mean, I always leave just, you know, fulfilled and just a peace of mind that it's hard to explain. I mean, you can come in, you've had a tough day, there's a lot on your mind, you have a lot of stress, and when we get done playing concerts like that, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit just moves, not only in our music, but in our well-being as well. And that would be one of my prayers, that same thing would happen to the people, that they would be lifted up and they would have some new energy and approach life with a different view.
I think that, you know, with all the technology that we get lost in it, I think, at times. And nothing beats live music or even the live recordings. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong, I think a good studio album is fine. Every once in a while, though, you get a group where it's not even them when they get done with it in the studio. You're like, who is this? Or they show up and they play after they've released their album, and everybody goes, I thought we got the other band.
Yeah. We think of ourselves primarily as a live performance band.
Okay.
And in fact, one of the things that you'll probably notice, you know, once the studio recordings for the second CD is done, is we've tried to capture a little bit of a live feeling about it. We don't want it to be too clinical or overprocessed. And overprocessing doesn't work with blues anyway, because blues needs to be retro, so that's fine. But we think of ourselves as live. I think we're in our most comfortable element when we're live. Mm. So our hope and our prayer is that this next CD will capture some of those same qualities.
If your focus stays the same, I think you will. I haven't talked much about it, but we're starting another station, and an incredible amount of music is, you know, most of it's not is acoustic or based. In that sense, I'm not saying that they don't have something, but it has a live feel to it because of the way it comes across. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not even, it doesn't take much sometimes if the music's good and the artist is gifted and they certainly know what they're doing. It doesn't have to be really complex or layered or anything. It just has to be direct.
Yeah. And our amps go to 11.
Yeah. That's right. Means what? What does that mean? Well, for those who don't know what that means, what's that mean?
Okay, so the volume knob on your amplifier normally has 1 to 10.
Uh-huh.
There was a comical movie back in, was it the 80s, called Spinal Tap. It was a satire of a documentary about a rock band.
Okay.
And these rock stars had their amplifiers customized so that the knob went, instead of 1 to 10, it went to 1 to 11.
Okay.
Which, of course, you know, makes no sense at all. You know, it's just different label on the same knob. But, you know, the comedy there was that these rock stars were idiots and they spent money for that.
But what it means for our audience is that we tend to play loud.
Okay.
We'll get a little loud.
Yeah, but I would say the guitar amps sound like they're about to explode. They might even smoke every once in a while.
Oh, brother.
That hasn't really happened.
It would be cool if it did happen, though.
Well, you know, I can get. We could set up some little effects with some black powder and maybe get some.
That wouldn't be the first time. Yeah, that the people have used black powder at concerts. Yeah, yeah. You know, that happens a lot.
Yeah, like one of the members of the Who has got ear damage from it.
Oh, crud! I have issues with hearing. Whenever I go to a concert, I always wear earplugs.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I still can hear everything. I want to thank you for joining us for this segment of Open Talk with the high-octane band called Crimson Blues, Christian Blues Band, that is. If you want more information, you can find out about them at facebook.com/Crimson Blues Band. And we're going to close out with another song by them. So thanks for joining us. Here's Crimson Blues.
Okay, so this tune we're going to do here, this is a Delta Blues reinvention of the old classic Christmas carol Silent Night. I've basically taken that song and kind of reinvented it in Delta Blues style, and it has changes to the words to kind of fit Delta Blues and to kind of expand things that I thought were important to me that I wanted to say. So. ¶¶
silent night. Such a holy, holy night. All the world is peaceful. The stars are shining bright. All around the Virgin and her miracle child. Precious little baby Prince of Peace, tender and mild. Won't you sleep? Won't you sleep in heavenly peace? Of all the different blessings, there's nothing quite like this. A gift of love from God above. Such a heavenly kiss. Crazy times are coming. So much hard work to do. A bloody crown of thorns and a cruel cross wait for you. But right now, right now, right now, won't you sleep in heavenly peace? Down right now, and I leave this world tonight. I will sleep in your heavenly peace. Yeah, no matter what go down tonight, I will sleep in your heavenly peace. Knocking on my door, you come looking in my house. You come peeking through my window, you won't find nobody there. I'll be gone all alone, 'cause this world is not my home. I'm just a soldier passing through on his way home. I've been redeemed. Watch. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. It's not my home. Got a spirit stamped on my soul. And this world is not my home.
You've been listening to Open Talk. If you would like more information about this program or any episode, you can go to our website at opentalk.us. That's opentalk.us. The views and opinions of our guests are not necessarily those of this station or its management. We hope you will join us next time for another edition of Open Talk. This program is a production of Central Coast Christian Radio. Thanks for listening.